perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well. All is well. Yes, all. Message shalom, and all is well. Oh, there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, oh rest for all. Just lift your hands and worship Him. All is well this morning. Oh, all is well, hallelujah. Yes, all is well. For we have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. Oh, there's a place this morning. Oh, yes, is a place. Behind the inner veil, so rest, little bride, rest for all. Let's all stand as Brother Terrence comes this morning. Oh, all is well. Yes, all is well. For we have heard message shalom, and all is well. There is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
First thing we're going to start off with, Bro Rhino's got a little testimony and then an update on Brother Little Junior. So we're going to let him. Oh, we're going to get fancy here.
Thank you. Yeah, will y'all sit down for just a second so everybody can see the picture, please? Just so y'all know, we don't know this little boy. It's Gabby's niece's son, and he's the oldest of three boys that her niece is Sierra. This is the oldest of her sons. His name is Junior, and we've been praying for him about cancer. All right, this is what Sierra, his mom, posted on Facebook. This kid right here, let me tell you what this kid heard today. That picture on the left is him hearing that soon he may not walk. He will have to have braces for his legs and ankles, and special shoes and inserts. He also heard that a wheelchair is not out of the question. He heard that he's probably going to have his feet surgically broken and refixed, and his ankles done the same way, but that he will eventually lose the ability to stand because of his legs. He will lose the ability maybe to lift things in his arms. He's not allowed to play sports, all because of Ehlers-Danlos, I think is how you say it. But in that picture on the right, he looked up and said, nope. God brought me through all the doctors, the tests, the surgeries, the cancerous lymph nodes, the serious infection that made my neck swell up. He will bring me through this too. He's a fighter, always has been and always will be. Junior is my hero. So I'm just asking y'all to agree with me that everything be well, little Junior. I think it's about Matthew 18 or so. Jesus said, if you shall agree, is touching anything they shall ask, it'll be given to my Father in heaven. I'm asking just simply for y'all to agree. On your right, on the way out today, if you'll pick up these little flyers, got the pictures and that little testimony on there. Take it home, put it on your you know, refrigerator, in your prayer closet, or wherever you'll remember to pray for Junior. Thank y'all.
Amen.
God bless you.
You can stand. We can stand. Amen. Just keep Junior on your heart. All the ones that we've mentioned that have got cancer, that we're praying for, just continue to remember those. Remember all the older ones that we're praying for. Remember Sister Johnny. Well, we can still remember Brother Darren, Brother Collie, and all the other ones, and Sister Anna and Brother Al, and I know I'm missing some, Sister Jean. Lord knows who they are. Just remember that. Sister Johnny still got her check engine light on, she says. Remember that. I told her, I said, I didn't realize a T model had a check engine. I called her a T model. But anyway, just remember Sister Johnny. Also, Brother Rhino says, please pray for us about a decision we are having to make about our vehicle. Brother Rhino's got a transmission going out. I got one going out. Brother Boyd's got one going out. So this must be transmission time. Richard's got one that's already out. So just remember the ones that's got transmission problems. That'll all be done and not be charged three arms and two legs. Also, Brother Joe gave me one that says Josiah and Olivia had their wisdom teeth taken out. Both of them? Yeah. Oh, really? Olivia is experiencing some swelling. They're at home. Josiah and Olivia's had their wisdom teeth taken out, so they're kind of struggling along. So remember that this morning also. I think that's the only ones I've got. Let's see. Sister Esther Smallwood, still remember her. She's going through, still sore, coming through the wreck. So remember that also as we pray. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that may be traveling, Lord, on the highways. Be with them. Bless them. Keep them safe. Lord, remember the ones that we pray for, Lord, on a regular basis. Remember the ones that's got cancer and little Junior there, Lord. Come down and bless him this morning. Take this away from him, Lord. By your stripes, he's healed. Lord, remember all the other ones, the Sister Johnny and Brother Al and Sister Anna and Sister Jean and Lord, I know I'm missing some that's Brother Hal Thomas. We've asked for him, Lord, and Brother Boyd asked for him, and he's struggling along and wanting to come to church, Lord, but having problems. Just be with him this morning also. Be with the rest of the service. Give Dad strength. Also, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Shut in with God. In a secret place, there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Oh, I'm gaining new power to run in this race. How I love to be shut. Shut in with God in a secret place, and there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Oh, I'm gaining new power to run in this race. How I love to be shut in. Let's sing it once more to Him. Let's remember those on the prayer list this morning. Oh, shut in with God in a secret place. And there in the Spirit, beholding His face. Honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. Oh, there's honey in the rock for you. Sing it once more to him. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you.
Amen.
Are you happy for that? There's a honey in the rock for all of our sins that the blood covers this morning. Thomas, would you come and take the morning tithes and offering for us this morning? Amen. Let's sing that chorus, in the presence of Jehovah, the key of C. In the presence of Jehovah, O God Almighty, Prince of Peace, and troubles vanish. Oh, our hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Oh, is he your King this morning? Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, oh God Almighty, he's a Prince of Peace. Our troubles, they vanish, and their hearts are mended in the presence of our King. Let's all stand as Brother Colley comes this morning. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish.
Come to worship and to read his word. We're going to read it this morning from Psalm 90. Now, I don't know, just someday. We always thank the presence of God. Thank God for being in our presence. They had a little year old boy in the back seat, and he was sitting in the car seat, and it was his birthday, so we're going to take him to the restaurant. So just to return the corner, how he did, I don't know, but he opened the door. And he was shocked that the door came open. And I was shocked that he was strong enough to open the door. And his car seat wasn't working right, so I said, what I'm going to do with this little fella is take him back home and leave him. I said, I got this for, I go get him something to eat. But I want to be able to eat it, so. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful, God, for you being with us, Lord, protecting us, Father, when we don't know the need that we have, Lord, that you protect us in a way. God, we thank you. We ask you for each of us here this morning, Lord, that you would touch them for whatever the need is in their heart and their spirit. God, we ask that you would grant it unto them. Lord, we know through you all things is possible. And we ask you to remember Brother Dale and touch him in a special way. That which he ministered, Lord, will be a blessing to our souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were our Lord, and thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return ye children of men.
For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
Thou carest them away as with a flood. They are as sheep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up.
In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered.
For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled.
Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of our
For all our eyes are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as tales that is told.
The days of our years are 3 score years in hand. And if by reason of strength they be 4 score years, yet is their strength for labor and sorrow, for it is sin cut off, and we lie away.
Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants.
O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad.
Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and thy years wherein we have seen evil.
Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children.
Let the beauty of thy Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands established thou it. God bless you. You may be seated.
Thank you. Amen. I mean, love the reading of the word of the Lord is so encouraging. And every time, in the good times, the bad times, the word of the Lord is so unlifted to our hearts. Let's turn to page 22 in the spiral. Songbook, if you have it near you. We were listening to that sermon last night. Faith is our victory. And Brother Branham, he was talking about if you have a need and you come up to get prayed for, he said, you bring your faith. And Brother Branham said, I'll take my faith. We'll put it together and it'll bring God's faith in the scene. And it's all in his faith, for faith is our victory. Amen.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. How he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath that cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love, oh, is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Is that your desire this morning? Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Want to glorify His name. Oh, I just come to glorify His name. No greater name. Oh, and there's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify, oh, glorify His name. You come to glorify Him this morning? Oh, I just come to glorify. Oh, glorify His name. It's all about Him. Oh, I just come to glorify. Oh, glorify His name. And there's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify, oh, glorify His name. Let's all stand as we sing it once more. Oh, I just come to glorify, glorify His name. Oh, I just come to glorify, oh, glorify His name. For there's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Oh, glorify, oh, glorify His name. Let's sing it once more to Him. Oh, I just come to glorify. Oh, glorify. We just come this morning to glorify You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I just come to glorify. Praise Your name this morning. No greater name. And there's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Oh, glorify His name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Amen. There's nothing like that name. No name in heaven or earth that we stand in that name. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes this morning.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, holy,
amen and amen.
High and lifted up, oh, you're shining in the light of your glory.
Amen.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy.
Amen and amen. And I want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans 8. We'll read a scripture and get into our thought for today. Good to see everybody. We say welcome to our, I think our brother's been here with us before, but, you know, we just still say welcome anyway. We don't want to miss nobody that comes in. No. Amen. Good to see everybody. Glad to be back together. Hoping everything is working good and all like that for you and making us feel better. My nephew, the one that had the heart attack there the other day, he is doing better, but still having a lot of problems with it. So just pray for him that the Lord would touch him, you know, and he's having a lot of troubles with the fact that I talked to him and he said it was back about like it was and he was afraid of that part of it, you know, but just, keep him in your prayers, amen. Okay, remember this afternoon, Wade will be ministering for us. And the Lord willing now, if I can get so far in the message today, I want to try to do it Wednesday. So I'm just asking you to, you know, I know some can't be here. I understand that. That's no problem. But then make sure you get the message, you know, and try to get it because it's something that's been on my heart for 40 years of trying to preach about predestination and to get it in the right order to where that we can understand. We will not read a whole lot. We're just going to try to preach about it to where you can understand at least what we're saying. And then we'll give you what the prophet has said and you should know enough of it anyway. But, you know, think on these things on predestination and we'll try to be trying to make it plain as we can. All right. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace unto us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for everything. Just have your way and come among us and open our eyes to thine understanding that we may see you and want to walk into your love and grace. Forgive our sins and lead us in thy grace and love. Lord, remember the sick among us. You know the needs that are there in many, many sicknesses. Our wife still having troubles with old sinuses and the things that still bothering, Lord. And we know that Satan is doing everything he can to hinder in every way, Lord. And all of these that are sick among us, we just ask you to come and take it away because we believe you and we thank you for it and saying that by your stripes we are healed. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Romans 8. We're going to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate what? To be conformed to the image of his son. Now, your predestination, we won't get to it, but you remember your predestination is your destiny. And so then that's why he's saying it, that we're predestinated to a certain place in this day, to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, I love this scripture right here. What shall we then say to these things? All the things he's just said, what can we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I would ask you, I know it's not you sitting here that's doing it, but I'm just ask you to something. You know, when the phone rings here, I mean, we're honest and sincere and try to do, but just like a while ago, you were worshiping and things, and then all at once here comes a phone call in. Well, I understand that. I understand. I try to anyway. But try not to make those phone calls coming in during the worship service, the ministry. And let it be before the service. We're glad to pray for your needs and things like that, you know, and all. But try not to be, unless it's what you call a dire emergency, you know, just a real, real emergency that would need something. You know, call before the service or after the service, because everybody in here hears the phone ringing. And then everybody in here wonders, is it for me? See how you interrupt the whole service to get in your little call. And I don't mean this wrong now. I mean it seriously. And you call in and say, I got a tummy ache or my car quit. You know, and then you're interrupting the whole service for us to pray about your car, you know, or something. Well, do it before the service. Do it after the service. You know, don't do that like that to where, you know, but we say, but my, you know, I've asked you to cut your phones off. I know you have not done it. Because every once in a while we get a little accident and somebody's come through, right? And you get to hear them in the service. But I've asked you to cut your phones off. This is a service time. This is a time we are to be worshiping God. Not to be talking on, what's that thing? The name of it? Yeah, what? Facebook. Yeah, this is not the time of Facebook. This is not the time of keeping up with whether or not you've gone to the bathroom three times today, you know, and, you know, something like that on Facebook, you know, that means, no, if it's an emergency, call in, yeah. But not to just say, well, I'm, no. See, you're interrupting the services. Now, and I'm just going to say it this way because I can't, you know, you say, well, I'm not going to order you to not turn your phones on. Because I don't have to. I'm not going to order you to wear your face mask. But you ought to. Yeah. Right. I'm not going to order you to not call in on a phone call. But you ought not do it. See, the reason I'm not going to order it is because if I have to order you to do it, then that becomes a childish situation. If I've got to order you to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know, then you're not involved in this situation. You're not a Christian because you're not displaying the way of a Christian. Well, Brother Dale, I was just, you know, I've said it and I mean it. We try to do everything. Sure. All right. Emergencies. The phone is there for emergencies. If something comes in, all right. That's emergencies, but not just to do it every day and do it, you know, and sit there and look over on your thing. And I watch some of you and you know, you're, You know, you're doing it. You've been doing it. You didn't stop doing it. And you're not going to stop doing it. So I was praying in there before I came out. I said, Lord, give me some way to express what I'm saying without people getting all upset and then ruin the rest of the service. Because that's what you're doing. You get your feelings hurt. So you won't listen to what I'm talking. You won't listen to what I'm preaching. But you'll be sitting in your little pity party world and you won't be doing it. All right. You interrupt the services. The prophet said that's your responsibility between you and God. All right. You get up and run to the bathroom backwards and forth. You can go before the service. See? I see Brother Ray there. Brother Ray, when the singing song comes for it here, before the service starts for us to, you know, to come out or anything, he goes to the bathroom and comes back. All right. That's good. That's respectable. See, we're trying to talk about Christianity. This is something, now I'm going to say it and then you can take what you want to. I mean, we had respect in the Baptist church. We respected the rules and the regulations in the Baptist church. Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever you come from. And you know what I'm fixing to say is true. You go to some of the churches of this message and they're going to personally call you out if you keep going to the bathrooms and back and things. They're going to make you, they're going to show you they rule the place. Well, I don't try to do that. It's only going to hurt feelings. When it hurts feelings, you're not going to listen to what God's talking about. I'm trying my best to get you to see what it is to be a Christian and what God's word is. We've had the greatest message that has ever been delivered because it was delivered to the small things all the way to the top. It was made from the simple things all the way to the deepest things that could be thought of. And I mean, we should honor and respect that. You know. Yeah, but I'm, I know it. That's what I said. You're already caught that and it's already hurting your feelings and already doing, but just remember, try to do the best you can. Try to do the best you can. You know, okay. Don't forgive me for what I said, because I'm not going to ask for forgiveness. I'm just going to say to you, I thought we were supposed to be Christians. To act and do and live like Christians. That's all that I've thought about, you know, doing. Well, you think I'm not a Christian? Like one brother, I said something to him about it, and he went and told everybody and quit coming to church here. Won't come now. Why? Because Brother Dale said that he wasn't a Christian. I didn't say that. I never said that or whatsoever. You know what I said? I said, a Christian don't act like that. You say, well, you said the same thing. Okay. I said the same thing. Christians don't act like that. The prophet talked about little feelings that we have, you know, and things, little hurt feelings and things of us being Christians that we shouldn't have them. You know. Okay, just think about it. All right, now, we finished up the series part about the fact of God and his ways and his doings and how that it was back before the world, and we come through that to bring out the things and bringing it down to where that we're living and bringing it to where the message of the hour is showing us the one true and living God that is, you know, here to do and do all the thing, and took it all the way back from before the foundation world and went all the way forward to the future as to the bride of Jesus Christ, ending it up in the message there. The bride of Jesus Christ will be in the last days according to your prophet. Now, not according to Brother Dale, not according to anybody else, according to your prophet that you claim to believe everything he says, all right? But according to your prophet, then The bride is to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, but you said, but I just don't see it. Well, you know what? Go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself a question. Am I living like a Christian or am I acting like a bastard child? Because bastard children can't be forgiven. Are we acting like Christians or bastard children, you know, in our doings and things? See, that's what hinders us from understanding. If we say we don't believe, now, that, you know, that the bride is to be the fullness of the Godhead body, then you're making the prophet a liar. Now, you ain't going to like that. See, I say, you know, no, you ain't going to like that at all. Because you say, no, I'm not. I believe everything he says. Well, then, you know, let's act like we believe it. Let's talk about being it and believing it. See, that's where our trouble's at. We don't believe what the Bible says about us. Well, it's going to take somebody, somewhere in this last days is going to stand on the Word of God and believe God and come out to the basis that we can follow the message and walk off of this earth as a born-again Christian. Be Wednesday night, later in the message. But you'll forget it by then, but I'll say it this way. I ask you a simple question this morning. That's what I've been trying to do. You remember how we went through the Godhead being plain and simple. Trying to bring it down to the level that we can talk on it and discuss it. All right, I want to talk about predestination in the simplest way that can be thought of. The most simple way that can be thought of in predestination, that's what we won't talk about. All right? See, then don't get all of this stuff, but I was before the world, and I was here, that, we'll bring out, not today, but we'll bring it out. You've had it brought out enough. The prophet said, were we spirits then before the world? He said, no, we wasn't nothing. We was in the mind of God. Well, I want to ask you a question, simple questions I want to ask you. Is the sinner in the mind of God? He's what God thought of. Now, I know the difference between being in the mind of God, yeah, and being the mind of God. I don't want to be in the mind of God because just being in the mind of God, everybody in the world, that's going to be the whole thing of this morning. Everybody in the world is predestinated. Everybody. The way your prophet brought it, see, then that does away if you can make that bold statement and say everybody in the world is predestinated the same way. Then that does away with all of this. But I always was eternal. I'm predestinated a special way. That's not simple enough for me to understand it. See, because I've got to figure out then what I was and what's this and what's that. But if I can take it to believe what the prophet has said and the Bible has said about it, and just believe it. And say, thank you, Lord. I may not be able to explain it, but I believe it. This is a simple question that will be determined Wednesday to be 40-something years to trying to minister about predestination to finally reach a point to where I can express at least a little bit about it. How does God predestinate? How does God predestinate? Now, predestination is the fact of, according to the commentaries, predestination is to predestining or determining. Means deciding beforehand. Even decreeing all the way from eternity and coming all the way through. It means to appoint beforehand. Predestination. How much more simple could you express the word or thought of predestination? Now remember one thing that I'm asking you to remember and get away from the thoughts and ideas and it'll destroy those doctrinals. Everybody is predestinated. The same way. Or else you have a respect of persons. Now I was good enough. Now that's going to be a thing that we're going to hang on Wednesday, we're going to hang on to it and we're going to nail down hard and strong on some thoughts. To predetermine, predestinate, predetermine. You've heard me tell about my dad, and he's the old Baptist believing predestination. And my mom was trying to explain to him out in the cotton field one day a little bit about predestination. And Daddy, he couldn't read, he couldn't do anything, but he had some pretty good understanding. He talked to her about serpent seed, and that was back before we ever heard of it from the prophet. But he said, does God predestinate everything? And she said, yes. He says, did he predestinate me to pick that bowl of cotton? She said, yes, he did. He just went around it. You say, well, that was silly. It made a point. But can your thoughts of predestination cover everybody in the world? If not, you have a predetermining factor that will not fit the Word of God, because according to the Word of God and according to the prophet, all things are predestinated. That's why he could come up with that word and call it foreknowledge, because that's what it is. Because the Bible says those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. So what comes first? Predestination or foreknowledge? If God determines something to be without giving a choice or anything of that matter, then he is a respecter of persons. And he's picking and choosing whether you like the idea or not. Well, I like the idea of thinking that I was something before the world. What was you? What was you? The prophet said you were only in his mind. You know what? The sinner was in his mind. Everybody in the world was in his mind. Are you going to be a respecter of persons? Well, you don't understand predestination. You just don't know. Well, okay. All right. I know one thing for certain, and I don't mean this disrespectful, but I mean it's just going to be the plain truth. You come show me where I missed it. I'll come back right here to church and show them that I missed it and turn around and tell who told it, you know. And then I'll resign and sit down. That's how serious I am. Because if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm right, you're the one who's got the problem. And if I can say everything the prophet said without denying it, bring me any quote on predestination. That's the challenge that I put forth. I just finished a series of One God. Bring me anything that would show different than what I preached about the one true and living God. Oh, you're just being sarcastic. Well, come on. You know, that's just the best way I can say it. But what do you think about predestination? Well, we say, predestination. God determined that I was going to be saved, and he saved me anyway. I want to ask you a simple question. What made God turn to Abraham and call him? And wind up calling him his friend. wind up putting every one of us, Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, whatever, into the line of we got to talk about the seed of Abraham. Right?
Amen.
We are the children of Abraham. It don't matter where we're Gentile, Jews, or who we are. All born-again Christians are the seed of Abraham. Because that's the only seed that's worth anything.
Amen.
So you know it real quick. I'm not talking about a physical seed. We're not all the seed of Abraham by the natural seed. But we're the seed of Abraham by faith.
Amen.
So what is God looking at to predetermine? What is he looking at? What is he judging it by? Well, he loves me. Yeah. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God doesn't mind using the word hate when it's related to Esau. But we know that God cannot use the word hate in the basis that he hates anything that way. Especially when it's a person or something. He cannot hate. What would he hate with? The Bible's full of things that are marvelously said, but most of the time misunderstood. Why did God choose Abraham? It's hard to stay away from Wednesday, but I'll ask you the same question on David. What made God come to David? And him an adulteress and a murderer and all that. And he said, he's a man after my own heart. Now you tell me what brought him to him. I'm giving you a whole layout to where you'll think about it, then we'll drop back in the message and just shuffle through. What do you think this is all determined about? It can't be on the basis of how good you are. Can't be on the basis of anything like it. There has to be a basis, though, for God to predetermine. And it must be so simple that we can understand it as babies or children can understand the point of a predestination. So what do you think about it? Predestinate or predestination means that God can predetermine some way and not be a respecter of persons. Because he would that all be saved. Right? Is that the Bible? Is that the prophet? He would that all be saved. Well, he just don't look at how good I am. Good for what? What are you good for? How much did the prophet say? So many ounces or so much, you know, potashes and things worth this, like 80 cents or something. Then we think we. I'm going real slow, real thoughtful, really to get you to think. And just, I like to think things out. I like to comprehend what is being said. And the prophet, that's why he would say it. You know how he said it? He said, now, predestination is a bad word to use in front of an untrained congregation. Now, we'll read that in a minute, you know. If we don't, then you know it's said. why is predestination such a bad word? What would make it a bad word? It has to be on the basis of how you understand what the word predestination means. Right? It has to be put on the point of well, what does predestination? We Baptists, we believed in predestination. Brother Dick was here. He'd go with you with the Presbyterian. They kind of had the idea that, you know, like your predestination was, and I'm on the edge of the platform here, and I step off. Well, that was predestinated to happen, so I'm glad I got it done. Now, that would be a good way to approach the Bible of predestination, that some way God can predetermine something to take place, but he can't put you in a pipe and push you through the other end of it and call it predestination. He has to give you a choice. See, and everybody has to have that same choice. What was the difference in David and Saul? And see, we don't even listen to the terminologies of the prophet and things to try to see. We try to figure it out ourselves. The one I love for him to talk about is Jacob and Esau. When he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And knowing that there is no part of God anywhere, ever been, ever will be, to deal with the word hate. He can't hate. He cannot like. But he can't hate. Because that would make him a part of the world we're in. Well, see, you don't even think about listening to this. How are you going to put Jacob and Esau in your predestination plan? Just giving you a little thought. Did not the fact, after all the things that Jacob had done to Esau, stole his birthright, took his other things, you know, from him. But after all was said and done, when Jacob and Esau met on the return of Jacob from Bethel, Esau so loved his brother till he throwed his arms around him. Jacob said, brother, he said, I'll give you everything I've got. Natural story. Esau looked at him and he said, I got more than what you got. Read your Bible. I've got more than you got, and then you're trying to give me this. I don't want that. All I want is just me and you to be brothers from now on. How can you fit that in predestination? Another little illustration. There was a lady called Hagar. And after all that happened with Sarah and Hagar and the whole story, Sarah says, Abraham, this ain't working. We can't keep her here because it cannot fulfill the word with her here. And that's right. So they put her out. But what did God do? God found her sitting under a tree, giving her child the last drop of water that was there. And God said, I've heard your prayers. get up and go on back. Just be under subjection to Sarah and do the best you can. But yet all we read is there's nothing there. Oh man, she was this, she was that. The prophet, when he brings it out, says, the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. I remember first reading that and thinking, this guy's messed up. Because according to our understanding, the seed would have been right and this would have been, they would have been wrong. But according to the Bible, see? The seed shall not be heir with the shuck. The shuck is the what is going into tribulation. Foolish virgins, et cetera, et cetera. But they're not going to be bride. Thank God that they can't, we cannot be, or we will not be heir with that. God chose the right way. But he gave everybody a choice and put it to the choice of saying, okay, how would we like it if God told us how we was to be predetermined? I think he's trying to. I think he's trying to tell us how we're being predetermined. If we'll listen. All right? See, you got to cover a lot of things to understand predestination. Well, if I'm predestinated to be there, I'll be there. It don't make no difference. Nothing can't change that. Yeah? But if you're predestinated to go to hell, you're going to hell. Nothing can't change that. Man, I don't like that. Well, I wasn't the one that wrote the book. You're going to have to deal with God about his word. You have to deal with your prophet when the prophet said, God didn't pick and choose. He didn't do it that way. He didn't choose Abraham because he was a good guy. But why did he choose Abraham? Huh? Let's go just to point and then we'll get some of it and we'll pick up the Lord willing Wednesday. What does predestination mean and how does it work? Predestination means to determine or predetermine something. Decide beforehand. Decree it all the way. It has to be connected all the way back to eternity. It has to be foreordained or appointed. And it has to be beforehand by it being predestination. All right? But which then comes first, predestination or foreknowledge? Those who he did foreknow, he did predestinate. So what comes first now? Making it simple to think about. Think about your predestination, your life, your doing, and you'll come out with a greater understanding you never thought of, I believe, if we'll listen. Because everything is based then upon God's foreknowledge. If he predestinated anything or anyone outside of foreknowledge first, then he's a respecter of persons. And he just messed up his whole book. And there ain't no way that you can determine it, what it is. Because for the same reason, by the same reason, and all it could be, Abraham, David was chosen the same way. Solomon was chosen the same way. All right. How is it then that a person can come through this world and finish it all up And God can say, to hell you go. Without a respecter. How can you do that? Something about those individuals. You remember I told you a few weeks ago, I said I've been studying a lot about just plain naturally. It just plain naturally happened. It just plain naturally happened that Adam and Eve wound up in the garden. That just plain just naturally happened. Because it was real. God never predetermined before the world and set back, now, I'm going to make a world. They're going to fall. And I'm going to save them no matter what they do. That's the basics of most people's thoughts of predestination. But to me, every person in the world comes predestinated by foreknowledge. That way I can keep the simple point of all people, whether sinner or saint, and leave it on a free moral agency of a choice that you choose what you're the one that makes you, as Brother Tom Favos used to say, you trigger your predestination. That was a good point. In other words, you make it come into view by your predestination. But what you know about predestination will determine what you're going to do. But we got to understand, and that was the reason for doing it and taking it and covering the Godhead and all of the things. And bringing that Godhead to the basis that the eternal God before the world ever begun foreknew and would predestinate and all like that because he was God. He would be infinite. He would know everything. Before it would ever take place. If not, you got a peanut brain God. Sorry. Because that's your peanut brain and God ain't messing it up. But think about it. Predestination, the prophet said, is only the foreknowledge of God. Now, if you approach predestination, anything outside of it being the foreknowledge, you are predetermining something for your own benefit. Your desires is involved. God's desires was that everybody in the world be saved. But by his foreknowledge, he knew that would never take place. So he could write the book before the world. So he could leave your name out of the book. Because he knows what you're going to do. Well, he don't give me a choice. No, wait a minute. There's where we got to get good and simple with predestination. You got up today and you come to church. You went through this, you went through that. Some of these had to come over to go to this house, go over to that house or do whatever. You know. You think God didn't know all about that? Do you think you're pulling anything over on God? If God knows every time a gnat bats its eye, man, and how much taller? I never did know it made taller, but how much? How many times did it bat its eye? Then we think we could pull something over on him. Well, he didn't see me do that. Huh? To predetermine something even beforehand could only be dealt with an eternal God who had, all wisdom, perfection, and everything, And there's no way that he could make his choices one way today and another way tomorrow. Whatever he says has to be done. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, I had a choice to come to church today. I could have went to so-and-so's church. Yeah, but you didn't do it. Did you pull anything over on God? No. You came. Then. In other words, if we determine predestination as to a destiny set out there is made on the basis of a knowledge back there, then back there it was all finished. Right. He knew everybody that would ever come into the world. He knew everybody that would ever be saved or who would ever be lost. He never made us wrong. He gave us a choice. We chose the wrong. Yeah, but I hear Brother So-and-so explain that to me, and I just feel so good because I think about what I was back there. Well, let's deal with that just a minute. You realize then in whatever you was back there, you are now. Right? Whatever you was before the world, you are now. Or you changed somewhere, and there'd be some change, some reason, something. But you just don't preach salvation, Brother Dale. I believe in salvation, that God foreknew that I'd be saved. I agree with you. Because I agree with what the prophet said. He said, thereby he have it waiting on you. And you got here. That's his foreknowledge. Everything that happens, God already knew it was going to happen before it would ever take place. Then is there any problem with Jacob? Have I loved and Esau? Have I hated? When he knows both ends of the scale. But the prophet would say, now God could not take, and predestination is not God taking, push us through this pipe and take us out the other end. He said, that can't happen. That's God predetermining. Remember, his predetermining or destiny determined out there is based on what he knew back there. Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge then is very simple. What is foreknowledge? The knowledge before. Is that simple enough? Knowledge before anything transpires is foreknowledge. Now God is the only one that can do that. Right? We can't do that. We can pick and choose. We can gamble. We can be right half the time. We can. No. He's right every time. Amen. What I love about him is the way he deals. You take Cain and Abel. God says, Cain, if you'd have done like your brother, you would have been accepted. Right? But he said, because you took your choice. You made your decision, you made a choice that you wasn't going to listen to Abel. Because see, I'm like this. I'm sorry. I think different maybe from most people. I'm just good or bad on that. But I don't think the part in the garden with Adam and with Cain and Abel was a 5-minute deal. I think they discussed life and ways and situations and things. And Abel tried his best to explain to Cain what took place. And how that the act was there, the animal was there, the things took place. All of this had to happen. He was trying to explain that to Cain. And Cain, like you and I don't like that idea. Oh, you're making it too, you know, I mean, we don't want our children to hear these things. You're making it too plain to talk about an animal and a woman to be together. You're making that too plain. Well, I thought that's what they're teaching in school now. I didn't know. They call it sex education. I guess that makes it right. But listen. Would Cain have been accepted had he done right? No, God was just playing with him. No. He wasn't playing with him. He's telling the truth.
Amen.
Had he walked back over there and said, Abel, I don't understand this. I'm serious. I don't understand what all you told me. But said, don't stop telling me because I know one thing for sure. God's over on your side. At that time, he had not made the choices and done it. But Cain had enough sense to know that God was already on the side of Abel. Because he was trying to, why would God tell Cain, if you will do what's right? You understand what I'm talking about? I like to look at things over a long scale. I don't believe even the beast and all this, that, and the other was a 5-minute affair. I believe it was months, weeks, years. Time. Involved to bring it to a finality of things taking place. Amen. And in doing every bit of that, you see then that Eve made her choice. And God, according to what he knew before the world, knew that choice that she was going to make. What I love about him was he didn't kill Eve right there. Even though she'd made the wrong choice, he said, I'll still put up with it. Even though I've got a foreknowledge that has determined within me that I know what you're going to do, I'm still going to do the best I can. Don't you think God foreknew everything? If you don't, what's wrong? What kind of a God do you have? What kind of an idea or point? What would make you think that God doesn't know everything? So then what did he do? That was what I was just telling you about it a little bit. This Bible is full of things that took place.
Right.
And those things taking place was not haphazard.
That's right.
But it was the fact that something took place.
Right.
There was a Garden of Eden.
Yep.
There was an Adam and Eve. There was a natural Cain and Abel. There was a natural Abraham. There was a natural David. Those things are natural. It's a record. This Bible is a record of mankind upon the earth. It tells the beginning of mankind. It tells what he goes through and all of his doing and his choosing. And it tells the end of mankind. And you see, all we got to do is read it. You like to read a love story? Now, come on. I know you do it, but I know a lot of women especially, they like to read them love story books. Well, all right, let me give you one to assign for you to read. Turn to the Songs of Solomon and read that this afternoon. The greatest love story that's ever been in life until the fact is that mankind still wonders. My brother will tell you in a heartbeat that that was Solomon's lust that caused that problem. Well, I've got to admit, Solomon's involved. But I told him, I said, now, you can't put it that way. Because you're making God force something to take place. You're putting the desires into mankind. Well, I've heard them in this message say that God put the desires into the women to do what they done, and they done it. Well, that's getting very close. Yeah. But think about it. Predestination is, the prophet says it on the questions and answers, number two, if you want to pull it up where they can read it. Predestination is only the foreknowledge of God. Only the foreknowledge. All right. God being infinite, by foreknowledge, he knew everything, or he isn't infinite. See? He knew what would happen. So by foreknowledge, he could predestinate. That's the reason that I believe that God just doesn't, you know. What's he doing? Predestination. Go to the next one. Number three. Taken from faith of Abraham. And predestination is a hard word to use among a congregation of people, you know. Really, foreknowledge is a better word, and predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. All right? Now, that's an odd situation. Did you read what he said? He says, really, foreknowledge is a better word. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. And foreknowledge looks on to the destiny. Well, it goes all the way back. And before the world, God wrote the book of the destiny. He didn't have to wait until this would transpire. We know he didn't have to write. This is the book that... Your Bible is the book that was written by mankind to cover the world in time. Destiny. God being infinite, knew the end from the beginning, therefore he knew what people would do. So he could foretell what would take place, for he knew what would be. Therefore he, before Esau or Jacob, either one was born, God could say, Esau I've hated and Jacob I've loved. Why? Because he foreknew what they could be. He never made Esau the way he was. He wasn't willing that Esau would be that way. But Esau, by choice, God knew would take that way. So that's how he knows us today. He knows your heart. And if you might be able to fool your neighbor, you might be able to fool your pastor, but you'll never be able to fool God because he knows your heart. Therefore, he, by election, he chose Abraham, for he knew what Abraham would do. Now, there's the key to understanding what we're going to be talking about Wednesday night. Keep that key, that he knew what Abraham would do. Why? Because according to his foreknowledge, he saw it. Yep,
right.
Is that simple enough? According to God's foreknowledge, he saw what Abraham would do. He saw what you would do.
Right.
Is that simple enough? All right. You remember when he called him out there and said, he not keep the thing a secret from him when he was going down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, for I know that Abraham will teach his children. I know that. God's himself. Let me turn that around where I can put it to him. David coming forth, and God knows what David will do. God knows David will teach his children. I know it. God's himself. How that God or Abraham will send this message on down from one to the other the generation. Put David in there. Because the same thing that motivated David motivated Abraham. The same thing motivated God where he would not be making a choice. God doesn't choose the way we think. You say, he chose me. That's right. The better way of saying it, I was chosen in him.
Amen.
Is a better way of saying it instead of saying God chose you.
Right.
Better way of saying it is God chose you in him. Because
right.
That way, then you don't have to leave it. Look,
amen.
But God foreknowing that and knowing that Abraham would do it, then he told Abraham in the beginning that he would save him and save his seed after him. And would give him the unconditional covenant that he made with Abraham. Not because Abraham was good, because God was good. If God ever, is this a quote from the prophet that would fit anywhere you want it? If God ever gives you a promise, you can go to the bank with it. God ever promised you something, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to try to figure it out. The thing to do is just go say it. This is one I like. We'll get to it later. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So whatever Abraham needed, it was imputed. Why? Because he believed God. That's the key to Wednesday night. Abraham or anybody believe in God. See, that's why some people can't believe God. They just can't believe it. It won't do it because they won't listen. They won't listen to the simplicity of God in him trying to deal with them. All God says to Abram, which he wasn't even Abraham, he said, Abram, come follow me. Now, you think God didn't know that? Do you think when Jesus was walking the shores of Galilee that he looked at the disciples and he says, come follow me. They just laid down their stuff and started walking his way. Right? Why didn't everybody else do that? Everybody else could look around and say, well, we want to be there when the breads and loaves is passed out. You know. But the disciples just laid everything. I think about that. Something took place in a situation that you can put it with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, come on down, David, Solomon. You can just keep coming right on down, coming into the disciples and come right on down to where you are. Something triggered that. Something made that take place. But you know what? It was going to take place because God saw it. I want to end it with that part. God saw what Abraham would do. All right. He didn't make him then do or not do. He left him with a choice. And Abraham took the right choice and made it the right. What if he took the wrong choice? Like I've always said about the Virgin Mary. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, how many other women in that day did God? Now you can say, this is going to be presuming, Brother Dale. Okay, we'll just presume a little bit, but get the point across. How many young virgins in that day read the Bible and said, I could be that girl? He said, no. Why not? See, you're putting it in a pipe and pushing it. You're making everything work. Instead of leaving it to the basis that God could set back before the world in his foreknowledge and look all the way down through time and everything would be predetermined. How many times that gnat batted its eye? Why would it be predetermined? Because God saw that's what it would do. Yeah, but you're putting our salvation on the basis of something we do or don't do. Where did you get that idea? You say, well, it's not on what I do or don't do. Well, is it on what you don't do? Are you saved because you don't do? No. Mm-mm. You're saved by grace through faith. What was God looking at with Abel? The same way he looked at it in Abraham. Does the Bible say what I just quoted a moment ago, that Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness? Is that the scripture? Well, you know, why can't you say, why can't you be sensible and say, you know, God looked down and seen what I would do. And he seen that I would choose him as my Savior. Yeah, but that's making it on what we do. No, That's making it on the choice we make. It's making it on the decisions that we make. The decisions that we make is involved in our predestination, because if I made that decision, I decided to be at church today. You know, when I made that decision, God saw it before the world ever begun. God saw you'd be sitting here. All right? Now listen. He knew what you'd think. Right? You know when you think it? Before the world. Now you can't change that thought, so there ain't no need to do it. The best thing to do is just repent. But Brother Dale, I didn't sin. That's the worst sin of all, is to doubt God. That is the only sin. The only sin there is for us to doubt God. To doubt that God could, before the world, sit down and look all the way through time and go all the way through and predestinate every gnat that would ever appear there and come into 6,000 years of time and go through a millennium to put another 1,000 in and all of that, and how many times that old gnat, you know, was doing it. And that God knew before the world how many times it'd do it. But what if the gnat decided one day he didn't want to bat his eye? You say, well, he can't do that. Well, God knew he was going to do that. Come on. God knew that the gnat decided, was going to decide somewhere in time not to bat his eye. Come on, I'm trying to get you to see the infinite God and his great wisdom. We ain't pulling nothing over on him. He knew what we would do. He knew where we would be today and what's going on today. Well, I just decided to go to church today. Well, I'm going to say it to you and just put it in plain language. David never got up and decided to go to church. He said, let's go up. And you know, there's a very little incline. Been there and walked up through it. It's not a great big old ditch, great big hills and mountains. It's just a little incline comes up. And you leave from where David was down here with his temple and to be made, you know, in his house and living. And you walk up and then you level off and there's where the temple was at. And David said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Well, let's go this way, David. No, that ain't the way there. Yeah, but we've made these houses to our God. We made these, and you, Solomon would be involved in it, but not much David, but Solomon would be so much until he built houses for the prostitutes, or the common women. Right? He built big old buildings for them, temples and things. Well, that wasn't going up to the house of the Lord. Now, David had a reason. Let's go up to the house. God knew before the world that there was David was going to go right up. And he knew even Saul would turn the way he'd do it. He even knew how you would turn out. And which side of the road you're going. And what you're deciding. See, you're deciding right now. Your decisions is being made in your mind of whether or not the God that Brother Dale's talking about is God, or do we need to search for another one? Because if you don't agree with what the way is being said, then you need to search for one that you can find and agree with. That's no problem. But remember, you got a choice. Okay? He knew who would be saved and who would not be saved. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge in return can look all the way to the end of your destiny. You know what? From there to there. Now you're going to kick on me hard, so let's go ahead. From the beginning of my journey in life as a human being and coming up, I can remember things happening. You heard me tell of it. You heard the prophet tell of things that sometimes in your life was a little bit different from everybody else. You've heard me tell of the fact of going out and doing wrong and come home and just say, well, what in the world did I do something like that for? And I'd wind up, you know, really repenting for life and all. But you see, he knew all he had to do was to cross my path. All right, we could walk in the Baptist. We had fellowship. I'm talking about me and God. We had fellowship. But one day a man walked up to me and he said, what do you believe about the Godhead? I said, one true and living God. Jesus is his name. That's Baptist doctrine. He said, explain that. I said, well, the best thing I can tell you is God in three persons, blessed Trinity. He said, you're a Trinitarian. You're just as much as anybody else a Trinitarian. I looked at him. I said, I don't believe that no more. Now, you think God didn't know before the world what it would take to cross the path? See, I couldn't come up under Robert Tatum coming and visiting me. I loved him. He was a wonderful brother. I couldn't come up under, you know, George Canada coming. There's people you know. See, I had to meet that one that had the word. I ain't meaning the others didn't have it. I didn't say that. Now, you get your mind straight. I'm trying to express it. God knew who it would take. God knows who's going to take to cross your path. And he knows if you turn that down, you're making the wrong choice. Because you're changing your destiny from foreknowledge to just plain destiny. God chose me and I'm going to make it. No. Before the world ever begun, he chose Jesus Christ. By choosing him, all I got to do is make sure that I've got the right choice in choosing him for my Savior. Because that's where it's all involved. He chose me in Jesus Christ. You think I'm going to fail? No. So he could predestinate my journey. He could look down and say, well, all I got to do one of these days is walk across his path and drop a little word. And he'll just come running. How many of you remember when you first heard of the word? If you understand what I'm saying, I'm just trying to make it plain. Those disciples, when Jesus walked down through there, they had never seen him. They didn't know anything about what was going on. He turned around and looks at them and said, come on, follow me. What are we going to do, Peter? I don't know. We're going to follow him. Yeah, well, who's he? Well, they claim he's the Messiah, so let's go find out. You think God didn't know that's what was going to happen? You think he don't know what it needs to take and touch you? You mean you believe in a personal God that much, Brother Dale? I certainly do. I believe, brother, when you walked up there and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that before the world, that was a choice that you made. It took 6,000 years to get here and 2 seconds to transpire. Right? And you say, well, you know, was I always a Christian? You know, was I always a Christian? No. No, you weren't always a Christian. There's no such thing. We don't agree with that.
Right.
But you was always the seed.
Amen.
It was just waiting for a place to land.
Yeah.
Seed landed in a little woman one day, and she said, be it unto me according to thy word.
Amen.
Brought Jesus Christ into the world. A seed dropped in. A seed. We're talking about the word of God. We ain't talking about some bean or corn or something. God knew before the foundation of the world, all he had to do was just cross your path. I had another message to put in what I was bringing on that other series, and I decided to drop out. You know that Brother Branham says the only way that Jesus could be the Father was to be the Son of Man. You know, it just throws your mind every which way, doesn't it? But he said the only way he could be a father was to be the Son of Man. You know why? Because the Son of Man is the sower of the seed. The Son of Man was the I Am that was in the garden. The Son of Man come all the way down. Just watching us and just directing us and just turning us. And, you know, you say, well, I'm supposed to go here. You ever went down the road? And you get somewhere and you say, well, why did I turn that away? And you turn the radio on and they say there was a big wreck there. See, he turned you away. He dropped a seed, you took it and went on with it. Why can't we believe it as our Christian journey? Think about your Christian journey, what you've done. Where you come from and what you've done and how you first heard the word. And you first said, I believe that. I believe that. Thank you, Lord, for crossing my path. And just dropping a seed that I could come forth. And be what you want me to be. Come find out, you might have something to do with your salvation if you'll understand correctly. Not the face point of, not the point of dying or paying the price or this, that, or the other. But you know what? We missed the point, I think, of thinking about you had to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or you will not be saved. Well, Brother Dale, you're kind of putting it like that. I've got a little bit to do with it. Well, you put it some other way. Something to do with yourself. No, you didn't pay the price. You didn't die on the cross. You didn't do all of those things. No. But you accepted what he done. And you said, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. I remember when I walked out of the Baptist church because I was a Baptist deacon for I forgot how long there. And I was 25 years old, or 23, I guess, when I first ordained a Baptist deacon, which that was taboo, you know, because you had to be 40 before you become one. You know, that's just stating the fact of coming from the Baptist. No, there was. They saw what was there and they put me in the office as a deacon. I'd done the best I could do and everything. And then one day when I, like Brother Moulton crossed my path. When he crossed my path, when he said that, and I said, I don't believe that no more, you know what I was saying? I can't go back. I was literally saying, the day he said that to me, and I said, I don't believe that no more. I knew one thing for certain. My baptism was number one. That was the priority from right there I had to do. And by knowing the Baptist doctrine, you can go from a Methodist to a Baptist, you can go this, that, and the other. You don't have to do it. But if you go to a Baptist church, you're going to be baptized in that church. That is the rule. You will not be accepted as a full member unless you go get baptized. Even though you've done been baptized five times in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or whatever you want to do, you're going to get baptized in the Baptist church. See, because that's rules. All right? See, I knew that day that I was out of that church. Just by simply saying, I believe God's word. I knew I was leaving. I was done there. I went home. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't discuss it with her or anything. Because I wanted her to make up her mind. You'd say, well, it's foolish. Maybe it was. I didn't tell her when we went to the church that day. And I was teaching. I had about five jobs. And I had to stand up and resign from all of them because of the things. I was Sunday school superintendent. I was this, that, the other, besides being a deacon. And I didn't tell her that I was leaving. I got up and I said, I've got to go. Because I can't stay here. That was the statement. I've got to go. My brother come out. You can say, well, he didn't mean it. Well, he would have probably. He said, we'll build you a church if that's what you want. I said, that ain't what it is. I said, I've got to go where the word's at. Right. My choice has been on the word. I've got to go with the word because the word has spoken in my heart. I don't have a bad name of being a church breaker and all this, that, and the other in the city of Lula. I mean, the city of Gillsville or Lula. I think they would respect us because we've never just been an outlandishly, you know, thing. We've always tried to be a Christian. The people here have always tried to serve Christ and be a Christian and would be well thought of. What are you saying? I'm saying this way. Has he ever crossed your path? And just dropped a little seed into your heart of the word. Because that was where I was at. I walked out of that church that day knowing not where I was going, but knowing that there was a God that would speak. Because you see, I had met him before in my Christian journey as little things. But that day I made up my mind. I'd go with the word. I went home, got down in an old barbecue pit we had in the backyard and started crying and praying. Because I knew I was done. See, I knew the rules. I was the guy that was in the rule book. I was the guy that was a Baptist that was on the board. You know. And I knew I couldn't go back. And I said, God, have I foolishly messed up everything? Now I can't even go back there. Well, he just took me one day at a time. He's been walking with me one day at a time, and that's what I've accepted. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, a reality of a living God. If you think of anything as predestination, just remember the God you're thinking about before the world knew what you would do, and he would determine that end. You can't change. Now listen to what I'm saying. You say, well, can I change my predestination? Why would you want to? You don't listen to your prophet. The prophet said, with the spirit that I have. Now, I like that part. He said, if he wants to throw me into hell, I want to go. Because I want to serve him. Is that right? Is that the way? Maybe a little different wording or whatever, but it's what he said. See, he loved God. Do you love God enough to know that I may have to give up this, that, or the other, all kinds of things, to be able to serve God. Let's stand. Come on, musician. Think on these things. Predestination is the fact that God foreknew what you would do, not that what he would make you do. That's not predestination. Predestination is a fact of stating something is happening because he knows you're going to do it. Well, if he's been with us all these years, you think I worry about something? See, this stuff I've tried to tell you, this stuff with the viruses and things, that's not nothing that's, it's bad, it's hate, it's a horrible thing. But we're not in no tribulation or nothing. We're doing mighty good, living good and eating good. And ain't no tribulation. That's just tribulation that worketh patience. See, things are going to get rough. Then it'll be a decision to see whether or not you got it. It'll be there to decide then. What do we got, brother?
Sing that chorus, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you, adore you, I bow down.
Beforehand, by foreknowledge. Then he's been watching you.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort.
He's been watching you all the way down through. You didn't know it.
Holy Spirit,
but he's right there.
You're a comfort to me.
But he knows what it's going to take to be able to reach down and stop me and you.
You got,
he knows how to do it. He just lets something come across
inside me.
And one day you'll look back and say, you know what? I did make the right choice.
Oh, Heavenly Father,
what about a God that would look down at a man named David, a murderer? All kind of things, bad. Said he's a man after my own heart. You know, Brother Branham made a statement one time that really just struck me when I first heard it. This is what he said. He said, God believes his own word. I thought God was his word. Well, that's true. But he said he believes his own word. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give our brother these prayer cloths for what he has in need of. And before the world ever knew God, you stood back there and looked down here and saw us.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, you lead me.
Anybody else that have a need?
You guide me. You're dwelling inside me.
Holy, see, there was a time.
Spirit, you're a comfort.
When God looked down and saw me and you.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father,
I bow down before Heavenly Father. I appreciate you. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort. Dwelling inside me, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. And Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort. God, me, you're dwelling inside. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Heavenly Father, I appreciate
you. We can't tell God how to do anything, but we can ask Him.
Heavenly Father, I am.
You're dismissed. Pray one for another.
Oh, I love you. I adore you. I bow down before.